Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We would like to acknowledge the Turrbal and Yuggera people as the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet, and we would like to pay respect to the elders past, present and emerging.
That was a really smooth transition. I'm really proud of you. Hi, everyone, and welcome to General Queries, a podcast about the Brisbane queer scene. I am your host, Talia. It's great to have you on this beautiful morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you are listening. I am joined, as always, in the studio with the dulcet tones of my lovely co-host, Megan.
Dulcet tones, your main bitch.
Yeah, she back in the building, squad.
Baby got back.
Nice, real proud.
And if you've ever seen me, I am quite a large human being, so like it's not false.
We are joined in the studio today,
Michal,
with someone who's been asking me for a while to actually
so
be,
long. Get off my dick
just,
about it.
Yeah, not to just call you out on this, but I love you very dearly. I'd love to introduce everyone to. Actually, no, sorry. Can we just blank that? Because I was about to call you my OG husband.
Why don't you?
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. I would like to introduce everyone to my OG husband. We can then explain why he is my OG husband.
No, don't ruin the bit.
Don't ruin the bit. Okay. I'd like to introduce everyone to my OG husband, Michael.
I've been on the show for about a minute and you've already called me out. I'm definitely feeling the love in this Chili's tonight. Hello, my name is Michael. I'm gay. That's pretty much my most defining character trait.
Every straight written fiction, gay fiction.
Oh, oof. Yeah, basically, though.
Yeet.
Do I get into explaining my own deal now? Or
yeah, go on.
Yeah, go for it.
Why fuck around? Why beat around the proverbial bush?
Listen, I mean, usually there's stuff in the bush, but I'm making a...
I know, it's a sex joke.
It's a sex joke.
Oh, no. Okay, no.
Oh, come on. It's a good one. Fine. All right.
Really.
Hi, I'm Michael.
Vicious.
I'm a bad comedian.
Thousands of comedians out of work and you're stuck.
No, I studied creative writing at QUT for 3 years, which is how I met my OG wife, Talia.
That's me.
Yeah, graduate.
Yeah, I graduated last year and I am now doing a master's of teaching. So going to see your boy in an
well,
English classroom.
Well, look at you and your matching shoes.
It be like that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes like that.
It
be.
Listen, c'est la vie.
C'est la vie. Chase your bliss.
Or as the French say, yikes.
Shut up. Oh my god.
So
I can see you as an English teacher, like socks pulled right up, khakis.
I'm wearing like calf high rainbow socks today, so just imagine that is
wow,
every day
are you
of the
a
week.
Gay?
Listen.
Chris, is that a wee?
I'm calling the police.
Call the police.
If my identity was a spice, it would be salt. So
we did have this discussion. I would be Mexican chili.
I can see that. Mm. Spicy, full bodied.
Mm.
I refuse to participate in this discussion
because
I
Michael
don't
just
know spice
shimmied and I just like jazz hands my hands in the air. Like I just don't care.
So you did creative writing.
I did creative writing.
Do you want to talk a little bit about some of your writing stuff?
I say aspiring author, but that's because I've rewritten the first chapter of a book like 15 times and I'm very good at planning and very bad at actually sitting down to write.
Hey-o!
Listen.
What a mood.
It's, yeah. Honestly, as far as I'm aware, everyone in my degree is doing the exact same thing.
Nice.
Yeah. And I'm 21. It's weird saying that instead of 20. I'm 21. I had my birthday the other week. That was weird.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Hey, guess what? You're old now.
Yeah. I'm officially...
I was about to say get a job, but you've got a job.
That job's closing down. I need another job.
Oh, no. Yeah. My girlfriend is 25. She's like a grandmother. I'm 16. I'm a grandmother. I guess I'm only talking in vines today. Zane is looking at me with just this...
Zane's just going, I'm cutting all of it. I'm waiting for you to stop talking.
This is pure disappointment.
Do you want to just restart the podcast or something?
Let's just go again. No.
No, no. Yeah, so I have a lot of planning in the works. I have a lot of things lined up and I am trying to reach a stage in my life where I can comfortably sit down and start writing that and not be distracted by everything under the sun.
Do you want to, are you happy to talk about resurrecting?
Oh, absolutely.
Because
child. Okay,
just
TM,
to,
TM, 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 TM,
TM. TM, 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 just to...
PGYLTD.
Yeah. Just to give a bit of background to resurrecting. This is the first work that I ever read of yours. It is currently unfinished, but there is a lot of good discussion of identity and stuff, which is why I brought it up, because I think it's really important to talk about how that kind of plays in that kind of space. But yes, continue. Talk about Resurrecti.
So Resurrecti, or as its full current working title is Resurrecti Detecti, because I'm really bad at naming things. Resurrected Detecti is sort of my love child as a result of me being accepted into the QT's Advanced Writing Practice minor, where basically for a year and a half they put you under the tutelage of actual authors who teach you how to write a book and how to get an agent and all of these things, very in-depth, very rigorous, what's the word? So I'd say rigorous testing, but...
Teaching? Tutoring?
Tutoring.
Program. Like
it's peer-focused or peer-led critique and whatnot.
Yep.
Basically, you're surrounded by other aspiring authors and they'll give you critique and advice just as you can give them critique and advice, and you're all under the tutelage of poets and teachers and writers and everything. And it was great. And all of the main assignments for that particular minor was you had to submit your writing, and I was typically chapters from your work. And so at the beginning of my first semester, I had to, as one of my, I think it was my script writing teacher put it, I had to pick a puppy because you have so many cute puppies, aka ideas, but in the end, at the end of the day, you can only go home with one. So I ended up picking one that, funnily enough, started out as fan fiction because I am a cool kid. for those of you at home, I proceeded to shaka like a surfer because I'm a cool kid. I just did it again.
Nice.
I hated it.
Thank you. That's basically.
Can I get some foley on that, please, Zane?
head.
Yeah. So I ended up going with Resurrected Detecti, which is over the past year and a half of that degree and whatnot, I've developed and put my heart and soul into, and I've ended up becoming my main story and what I really want to be my first book. I've built an entire universe that my loving Dungeons and Dragons group is now playtesting for me.
Ayo.
Ayo.
I can't wait for all of my D&D shit posts to turn up in your world. But
so
continue.
Good. But yeah, and essentially, it started off as me wanting to have something to write for this assignment, and over time, it's evolved into this this story that I really want to tell. And that is such a bougie art term to use, but I've always been a fan of fantasy and escapism, and that's exactly what Resurrected Detecti is. And probably one of the core things that I want about Resurrected Detecti is the fact that I'm pretty sure every major named character and most minor characters are queer in one form or another, because I am an avid believer that representation in your works and in literature and just the arts in general is so important for identities of every kind. I have two main protagonists in Resurrected Detectee, Elijah, who is the eponymous resurrected detective, and Aisha, who is this gorgeous trans girl. And I'm, as I mentioned before, I'm straight.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Cool.
Freudian slip there.
I am the straight equivalent of the queer world. I am a cis white gay male. I am garden variety queer, salt of the earth. Salt of the earth? Cut that. garden variety queer. I am salt.
Well, I like salt of the earth.
I'm salty spice. That's my spice girl name.
The one spice that that white people use when they marinate a chicken.
Exactly. Yeah. But obviously, I'm not trans. Mm. I can't write a trans story from. Well, I can't write a trans story using my own lived-in perspectives. So I have gotten contact with trans friends, and I want to continue being in contact with trans members of the community to get that story and learn about it and understand it so I can effectively put it into my story in a way that is meaningful. And basically my end goal for my books and for Resurrected Detectee, if I ever actually get around to writing them, is to have someone come up to me and go, I read your book and it meant a lot to me because I saw myself in X.
Yeah.
And I can actually pretty much pinpoint exactly where this particular drive for representation in literature comes from. I was, I think, 11. I was very much a baby gay. I was so far in the closet. And I read this book by Robert Muchmore. It was part of the Cherub series, I believe. Class A is page 112. I'm pretty sure I have a screenshot of it on my phone somewhere. Like, that's how much this mean to me. The main character's friend comes out to the main character as gay. And I vividly remember reading that in bed because I was that cool nerdy kid who read it bed at night.
Hey.
I remember reading that, putting the book down, going to the bathroom and staring at myself in the mirror because holy shit, here is a character that is gay like me. That was such a big thing for me. And I want to give people that experience, essentially.
Yeah. What was the process for researching like all of the stories that you don't know about, like researching for Aisha?
Researching for Aisha is essentially it's actual going online, reading stories from people who have had those lived experiences, and also just contacting people I know who are trans or who are ace, like other characters in the book, or who are these different identities that I don't have, and quite simply talking to them, getting their story and asking how best to put it in a book. A non-queer example that I can point to was actually I wanted to write a character with dyslexia, and my sister has dyslexia, so I had a conversation with her. I like got a Word document open and everything and just took down notes of, yeah, all right, this is what it means for her. And every lived experience is different, but I can portray one using the information I get from this. So yeah, it's part actual research and part just talking to people and knowing people and getting their stories.
Now that you actually mention it, now you bring up the ace character, I actually do remember having that conversation with you because you messaged me and you were like, hey, so I want to do this. I want this person to be in a relationship with X person. What's that like? And what was really nice was, you know, after I explained like, oh, like you have all of these issues with like ace people in relationships, you then went, okay, so what's the best way to do this? Which I don't think there's a be all and end all answer to what's the best way, but it's always nicer to have someone be like, hey, what's your take on rep? Like, where should we be going rep wise? I think like with YA and stuff like that, they're definitely moving towards more broader spans of rep. Like, I think Percy Jackson has like so much.
I have so much respect for Rick Riordan. One of my writing teachers compared him to a literary heroine because there's so much going on, so much pace that you can't really keep up, which is really funny. But at the same time, Rick Riordan has some really good representation. I'm not going to say it's perfect because I obviously don't know those experiences and I don't know if they are accurate or not. But he started off with an all straight, all white cast, and just as time has gone on, he's put more and more representation in each of his books. In Percy Jackson, spoilers, one of the characters, Nico D'Angelo, comes out as gay and he ends up having a relationship with this other minor character, but it's touched on multiple times. In the Trials of Apollo series, which is sort of a sequel to the original Percy Jackson series, it's explicitly stated that, like, yeah, no, Greek mythology had a whole bunch of queerness in it that modern society tends to downplay or totally remove. I think it's Magnus Chase series, which is all about Ragnarok and Norse mythology and whatnot, has a canonical gender-fluid character, and all of the characters understand and respect and use the right pronouns. And I think it's like, it's explained like, hey, yeah, I'm gender fluid. You referred to me by these pronouns earlier, but I prefer if you'd call me this now. And every time they have that fluidity and every time their pronouns change, they like inform the main cast and they're like, oh yeah, all right. And the story continues on. So it's not a, I wouldn't say it's not plot relevant because there's a whole plot thing about who their father is, et cetera, but it's a part of their character, but it's not only their character, which I find is a huge literary trap of making a character's identity just, their character.
I think I've actually, in one of the previous episodes, I had this conversation with Jonathan where there's like, there's two different ways to write queerness. And one of them is to do it as like a little sideline thing. And the other one is to focus on it so entirely that it becomes the point of the work. And like, they're both valid forms of expression, especially self-expression. But sometimes it's nice to just get like the very downplayed, like, oh, like I'm just here existing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's really nice to just, hi, we're having a story.
And it's great to have those stories that are like full on 0 to 100. This story is about my queerness.
Mm.
And those are great to have because they can be so affirming and so validating.
We were talking about Love, Simon earlier.
Yeah, Love, Simon was the example I was going to use. That's actually the movie that helped my boyfriend and I get together. So, yeah, we saw it in cinemas about like 6 months or so, I want to say, before we actually started dating. I had been dropping hints at him for a year beforehand.
He's
Isaac.
he's a very...
Yeah, called out in his own home.
Yeah, I'll call him out as many times as I need to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, so stories like that are absolutely fantastic, but you also can't go past the stories where there's more than just that, because like I said, I use fantasy as escapism, and I love stories that are like, oh yes, no, the magical sword of Herbdudu and the evil kingdom of blah, blah, blah. And I'm a sucker for just traditional fantasy and all that sort of stuff, and non-traditional fantasy and fantasy in general. And having queer characters like, I think in an earlier episode you were talking about queer representation in video games. And Apex Legends was brought up of how one of the characters is just gay. It's like his boyfriend is mentioned in his backstory, and that's it. That's not the story. That's not everything. But that character is just canonically gay, and another character is canonically non-binary.
Mm.
And that sort of stuff is really cool to me because it's like, yeah, awesome. This is queer representation, but it's not the whole story. They have a story they're trying to tell. Apex Legends is a bad example for that because there's no story. If you're
interested, no story.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's some story there, but there's some story to pretty much everything as an excuse for having people run around an island and
Yay, yeah. Battle Royale.
Yeah, yeah, I love Battle Royale. It's
interesting. Yeah. Yeah,
definitely an interesting genre.
Yeah, it's... I had a point that I was trying to make. It actually is gone. So
that's totally fine. Fine.
I've had a day. Listen. Yeah, like, I find... And, like, with queer rap, it can be really difficult to write stories where they're very, like, focused on, like, the queer experience because we kind of have this habit within the community of tearing things apart to the point where it's like everything is bad, but like
no representation is ever going to be perfect. Yeah. And I say this like as someone who wants to have representation in every aspect of his creation. I think I have a running joke that I'm the anti JK Rowling because all of my characters are queer unless I explicitly post on Twitter otherwise.
Yeah.
But
God, JK Rowling, honey.
That suitcase went, it didn't even get off the plane.
I had something I was going to say and I've totally forgotten it.
We've been doing this like all day. Yeah. People have just been talking and they're like, what?
It'd be like that.
Mercury is in retrograde.
I don't understand what that means. I'm a dumb bitch.
I thought you were about to say I'm gay. And we were like, we've literally had this conversation.
We've been over this, convert. Michael.
You should know what it's about. You are gay.
Yeah, so representation in stories, literature, media, games, whatever, it's so important.
Yeah.
But there are those traps you can fall into where you try to make a character's identity come to the forefront and end up making it just their identity, and it's at that point that you really need to go like, well, is a token character, is token representation better than no representation?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's still a question I'm unsure of because Pitch Perfect 2, I love Pitch Perfect series, but yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a in the second movie specifically, there was one line that one of the characters had that was, I am a black lesbian. I'm three minorities. I have more to worry about than you. And it was her entire character for the movie. And to me, that's not representation. No. That's
ticking boxes.
Yeah,
honestly,
that's literally,
it's white straight people trying to look like they're woke.
Which is exactly why you don't do that. You go to a black lesbian and go, hey, what are your experiences?
What's it like to be a black lesbian?
What's exactly like to be a black lesbian? What's it like to be a black lesbian in college and having to go to these competitions? And how does that affect your relationship? Like, ask these questions, get these stories so you can make your stories not only make the representation better, but make the story better. Mm-hmm. We mentioned Love, Simon before. The book that's based on, Simon vs. the Homo Sapiens Agenda, is written by a woman, but she's actually talked to young gay males and asked them about their experience, and that's where she created this a character of Simon and all of that from. And like, if you don't have those experiences, learn about those experiences.
Yeah. Or don't write about them. Yeah. Like, don't have a black lesbian character. Like, I think it's better to have no representation than tokenism because it's lazy. Tokenism is lazy. And like,
tokenism does nothing.
Tokenism does nothing but perpetrate the stereotypes and make people who are in the majority, who are not in those minority groups, feel good about themselves. Oh, I saw this movie that had one gay black character in it. Aren't I great?
Yeah.
Like, it's not okay, and it's queer baiting. Like, that's what it is. Like, I'm going to call out Ariana Grande and Break Up With Your Girlfriend, I'm Bored.
Mm.
That is the most queer baity shit I've ever seen in my life.
Mm.
Like, get back in your lane, honey. First it was appropriating black culture, and now it's appropriating queer culture, and I'm sick of it.
Mm.
Like,
just
sweetie.
Stop.
Ariana, sweetie.
Please stop.
And I also, like, not to throw a spanner in the works here, but I'm here with the different opinions.
Roll it. Throw it hard.
Thanks. but, see, I'm of the opinion that you should always always try to write experiences outside of your own to help with empathizing, because a lot of what writing and what storytelling is trying to get your audience to empathize. So if you can't personally empathize, why should we as an audience care?
You should always try to write experiences outside your own, because not only does that, like, it's diversity in your stories, but it also makes it more people, like, a person can read your book and go, oh, look, that's
me.
If you only write your own experiences, then literature would just be full of straight white men.
And it also comes down to a thing of like with fantasy and sci-fi and stuff like that. When people talk about writing their own experiences, people assume that it's like, oh, like it has to be an identity thing. But literally it's stuff like, what if you just woke up on a space station? Yeah. Like, that's an experience that's not yours.
Yeah.
And just like you have to.
And obviously there are some things that you can't ask like lived experiences on. Like, hey, do you know anyone who's woken up on a spaceship recently?
Yeah. But that,
if
I think
so, can that's I please what have fiction their number? Is.
Yeah,
exactly.
But that's where, you know, I think that's kind of where my metaphor kind of falls apart, because one is speculative fiction and the other one is, hey, people actually live like this. Yeah. Maybe do the research on that.
There's a line between experiences that can't be lived, such as waking up on a space station, being a dead guy brought back to life, like in Resurrected Detectee, tying things back to that. Like, there are experiences that you can't have, which is the point of reality and the point of fantasy and the point of escapism. And then there are experiences that other people have had that you have not. There's a line between those two. And on one side, it's like, sure, go for your life. Make sure you keep X, Y, and Z in mind as you write it, so you don't make it boring or exclusive or anything. And then on the other side of the line, it's all right, yeah, you want to have a trans character, talk to a trans person. You want to have a black trans character, talk to a black trans person. Like, find those experiences, do research, talk with people and get their experiences.
And also I think on that, like, don't just make friends with someone explicitly for the point of asking them. Yeah. Like, the reason that you're
be
able
to be honest about your intentions. Yeah. Like, hello, I'm writing a book. Yeah. I need to know about this to be able to write it properly. Can you help me?
Like the reason that we've had a lot of these kind of discussions is we were friends before that and you were like, hey, I know this is something that you're quite passionate about. Can you, can I just ask you some questions about that? But also, like, not to just bring it back to Tumblr, but Tumblr has a lot of, like, really good writing resources for queer characters. And there's a lot of good, like, advice blogs and stuff like that. And there's a lot of good, like, WordPress.
But if you want to post adult content, you're pretty fucked.
Good luck with that female presenting nipple.
But, yeah, no, like, if you don't have access to the people, the internet exists for a reason.
Exactly.
Google is free.
Google is free.
Google is free.
Google,
super duper free.
We are connected by a massive web of technology and information and data. If you condensed all of the electrons in the internet, you'd get something the size of a strawberry, and that's wild to me. That's a statistic I read like 10 years ago. Don't take that for granted. But we are connected by this massive information of communication and technology. Talk to people, do research, don't sit in your straight white bubble and go, yes, this is exactly what a gay person would sound like.
I think so.
As we have seemed to have established, they're kind of based in
stereotypes. And a lot of those times those stereotypes are harmful.
Oh, and also
that's why that Robert Muchamore Class A one was so important to me, because he wasn't a stereotype at to that point. He had just been a regular character.
Human, a regular
this was like
the
second book in the series, and he's just gone, hey, yeah, mate, I'm gay. And it's like, oh, all right. And then the story continues from there, and he's still a main character. He's still this really cool character, but he's gay, and
that's just him.
It's just a fact about him. And funny enough, that's exactly what people are like.
Yeah.
It's their identities are important and integral to them.
Yeah. And I think you do go through phases where, you know, it's the most important, then it's less important.
I introduce myself as, hi, I'm Michael, I'm gay. Like, people's identities mean things to them, and that's totally fine. But a lot of the time, and I don't speak for everyone, but a person's identity isn't their personality.
Mm.
It's an aspect of them and it's a factor of them and it's something you should keep in mind, but it's something you should, yeah, it's something you should keep in mind. It's important, but it's not the be all whole and thing. Yeah.
And I also think, just as like a last little thing, it's important to be aware of when you're writing, especially, and when you're storytelling, be aware of the tropes.
Tropes are not bad, but also be aware of them.
Yeah, be aware of them. I am specifically thinking about... I'm specifically thinking about when Griffin McElroy did The Adventure Zone and he had an explicitly lesbian couple and then they became a tree at the end of it. Yeah, and it became a very big bury your gaze trope, and which he was completely unaware of.
Yeah.
And he then went and rectified it and they became, I think, dryads.
Yeah, bury your gaze, water them, fertilize them, let them go into badass dryad lesbians.
Yeah. But yeah, just being like, if you are going to write... queer characters, especially for this podcast, just be aware of everything.
Be aware of things.
Yeah.
But don't sit in your bubble.
Yeah.
Reach out. Do some research.
Yeah.
Think before you write.
Yeah. So we're going to have to wrap up. Zane has given me the look. But Michael, it's been lovely to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
No problem. Sorry for talking about my book that's never going to be properly published.
Fine. We did it.
No, I'm always happy to talk about Resurrected Detective with you.
Glad. One of these days I'll publish and then it's going to be over for you.
Yeah. And then no more friendship.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
We're done.
But then I'm breaking up with you. Divorced.
But then I'll need you for all the sequels. So we'll need to have like another marriage,
yeah,
I reckon.
You're right.
We haven't had our first marriage and I feel like that's a crime.
Yeah, we kind of just...
never explain the OG husband
thing.
We
never explain
it.
We'll do
no,
it later.
Leave it a mystery.
Leave it
a
mystery. It's fine.
Hey, listen.
Some things are sacred.
Do, 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 do. So, yeah, do you have any advice for...
For the little gays?
For the little gays? Give me a sec. Advice for not just like gays, but just for writers and people who want to get into that. Write some fan fiction, y'all. That's some great practice and training.
Yeah.
Resurrected Detective was fan fiction. And one of these days, mark my words, I'm going to make it a multi-million-dollar media thing. Don't quote me on that. But
mark his words, but don't quote him.
Yeah, exactly. Write fan fiction. It's a great practice tool, and
you've got your world built for you.
Exactly.
It really helps with learning characterization, and
you can sometimes take those stories and make them your own, and that's great. And for people who want representation, talk to people. That's my advice. Talk to people. Make friends. It's a big wide world out there and there are so many people who want to tell you their stories. So talk to them. Get their advice and their experience.
Get that bread.
Get that spiritual, wholesome friendship bread.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thanks for
having me.
For everyone out there in podcast listening land, thank you for just spending some time with us. It's been wonderful to have you. I hope you're all looking after yourselves, drinking enough water. Please take your meds today and eat some food.
Snacks.
3 meals a day is very important. And we hope to see you all next time we are here. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.